church. And to be honest, I didn't want to go through it. You know, I had enough faith to go down and be an engineer and teach English, do these kind of things. Yeah, I could do that. But pastor a church in a Spanish country? No, God, I don't think so. You know? But, you know, like I said, it was the only door open, and we walked through it, and God has really blessed it. You know, in the last 9 years, just seen him do amazing things through this little storefront church in Santo Domingo. And so, as you see, you know, our church is small. We are about 60 people jammed into a little building. That kind of gives you a feel for, you know what it looks like. And we're far and away the oldest people in the congregation. You know, that's a blessing because a lot of churches, it's not like that, especially in America. But we've been really focused on training up young leaders. And we spent the last 9 years specifically training up leaders. And just recently, we've had three young men to be appointed as elders in our church. So we're really taking the church is maturing and growing. And not just the church, but the individual members of the church. And we've seen a lot of people come to Christ, and I'll talk a little bit about that as well. Homeless ministry. We're in Santo Domingo. Did I do that again? How did I do that? Go back. Okay. So we're in Santo Domingo, and we're on the east side of the city, and we're by a park, and there's a lot of homeless, you know, and you know, God has really given us opportunity to minister to them. One of the first things we found, we started giving out food to the homeless. And, you know, we first started, we'll go down like 8 or 9 o'clock down to the park and give out food, you know, because we know the homeless people are down there. By the time we got down there, they were all gone for the day. So we backed it up. So now we get up at like 4 in the morning, start making food to get out there before the sun comes up to start giving out food because you know, this guy here, he's sleeping in a barrel, but come some sunlight, he's gone, you know. And so it's just an opportunity for us to show love, to pray with them, you know, if they need to get help, to try and get them help if we can. But just love on them and show them that Jesus loves them even more than we love them. And the guy, gentleman in the red in the center, that's Antonio. And He is a unique guy. He knows English in Dominican Republic, and not many people know English. And if you know English, usually you have a good position. You can get your family out of poverty and things like that. And but he's got mental issues, and he's living on the street. And he'll come to every service on a Sunday, and he'll sit outside. And we invite him every Sunday. I go out, and I invite him to come in. He's like, no, I can't come in. I smell, you know, and he's just really self-conscious of you know, his physical condition. And, you know, we'll give him a chair and some water and a snack, and he'll sit outside, and he'll even take notes on the sermon and everything, you know. You know, but it's a way that we can love him in a very small way, you know. But anyway, God's given us a lot of people that from off the street that we've been able to minister. A hospital ministry. This kind of took a back seat with COVID. We haven't been allowed back in the hospitals yet. But what we do is basically we would take, first off, the hospitals in the Dominican Republic are very different than the hospitals here. You know, if you go to like Cross Irving or something like that, everything, you know, I mean, I was here in the United States a couple years ago for a surgery, and they had these heated blankets. You guys ever, anybody seen that? Yeah, I see some heads nodding. I go, that was really cool, man. You know, well, in the Dominican Republic, you go to the hospital, you provide your own sheets, you provide your own toilet paper, your family provides the food for you. If you want medicine, your family goes out and buys it and brings it back in so it can be administered to you. It's very, very different. And let's face it, not everybody wakes up in the morning saying, hey, I'm going to go to the hospital today. You know, you don't know. You know, so oftentimes people are there and either the family is not there, they don't have anything, or they don't have any money. You know, to have even a toothbrush or a bar of soap. So we'll put together little bags with, you know, a bar of soap, toothbrush, a towel, a bottle of water, Gospel of John. You know, just a whole bunch of little things that we can give them to bless them. And it opens a door for us to share the gospel. You know, people, you know, question, you know, what's your motive, right? Why are you doing what you do? Okay? And it's like, well, I have a motive. I want to share Jesus with you. And that and show you how much he loves me and where he took me out of and how he changed my life. And I want to share that with you. You know, so yes, I have a motive, but it's a good one. You know, we all have that motive. We're Christians, that's our motive. You know, when we love on people, I mean, we don't love it to get something or to force an opportunity, but the more you love on people, the more those opportunities are going to open up to you. So we've been blessed. We'll go in and like the maternity hospitals, we'll get diapers, we'll bring a guitar in and we'll sing. We'll go from room to room, sing songs and just try to bless people and show the love of Christ. COVID, right? when COVID hit down in 2020, it was rough for us. And, you know, when they were starting to lock down the borders and everything, my wife and I, you know, we're in a third world country. They're closing down the world economy's falling apart. We're on an island. Everything is not looking good. You know, you guys all remember watching the news every night and what's going on, and every day it's progressively getting worse and worse. And we're like, what do we do? Do we go back to the United States, go live with our family, or do we stay here? You know, and we prayed and prayed, and God was very clear. It's like, you know, what would it say to the people you've been ministering to for that, at that point, for the last 7.5 years, what would it say to them if you cut and run and go back to the United States? Well, it would say my God isn't very big, wouldn't it? You know, that I don't trust that he's going to take care of me here or there. So, you know, it was sobering to think that, and it's so Sandy and I said, okay, we're going to stay, you know. And it was hard. I mean, we had our one youngest daughter with us, our oldest daughter. They're closing down the university. She got back into the Dominican Republic the day before they closed the borders. She thought she was going to get stuck in New York City when they were talking about locking down New York City. You know, stuck in a city of New York and you don't know anybody. I mean, that would have been awful. But God, right? You know, all the things, you know, you read the Bible. I love that when it says, but God. And then the whole story changes, doesn't it? You know, and that's really the cool thing. So anyway, so we're praying. So we're staying. And so we prayed that we're seeing people, when it hit there, when COVID hit, everybody lost their jobs. I mean, it was a matter of days between the lockdown and they just... So many people lost their jobs. And, you know, when you work today in the Dominican Republic, you eat tomorrow. You know, it's that kind of existence. So when people lost their jobs, they ran out of money fast, and they were going hungry. So we're praying, okay, God, we've got this spare bedroom in our apartment. Let's make a food pantry. You know, and again, I'm very guilty of this. You know, my God is often about this big. You know, so I'm like, God, can you give us, like, $500, and we can buy some rice and some beans, and, you know, we can help a few people in our church. You know, okay, please, God, you know. So we put out a newsletter and put out a call for some money for the food pantry, and over $25,000 came in. Okay, my God was this big, and God's sitting there laughing. Ed, you're a moron. I'm bigger than that, okay? How many times I got to show you? I'm a lot bigger than that. You know, but again, if you got this much faith, he can work with that. You know, he wants you to have this much, but if you have this much. So we're out every day, you know, waiting in lines, and we'd spend 2.5 hours in line at this store, and then we'd get, you know, our quota, a big bag of rice and some beans. Then we go to the other store and stand in that line. And we're out from, because we had a curfew, you had to be off the streets by 5 o'clock. So, you know, we were out from morning till night just getting food. And then we'd bag it up and give it out. And we fed over 700 families, 715 families during the pandemic. And they would ask us, it's like, why are you doing this? You know, the government's not doing this for me. My family's not doing it. My church is not even doing it. Why are you doing it? Well, let me tell you about Jesus and how much he loves you. You think this is a sign of love? He loves you so much that he died for you. You know, and that's the picture. You know, when we show love, that it's just a drop in the bucket. Jesus loves us so much more than that. you know, and it gave us so many opportunities. And we've had so many people come to the church after. It's like, I don't know about the Bible. I don't know about religion. I don't even know much about Jesus. But I know you guys loved us. And we want to know more about that, you know, and to make the church a family. And that's one of the things about our church that is really special, is that we're a family. You know, we try to do life together. You know, we don't just come on a Sunday and say, hey, how you doing? Yeah, great week. Hey, did you watch the game? Yeah, okay. And then gone for another week. It's about living life together. How can we serve the Lord together? How can we further the kingdom together? You know, and this has been just one example of a way to do that. But you can see, you know, that's 600 pounds of rice in just the back of the, oh, thank you, in the back of my Honda Pilot. And it was to the point where I blew out the shocks in the back of my car hauling all this stuff, you know. But that face up there says it all, that little girl. They were just so happy to have food. So, again, you know, God blesses us if we allow him to let us, if we want to be a part of his work. Kids clubs. We've been blessed with an absorbent amount of kids. We are up to 3 kids clubs per week. And we have one at the main church, and then we have 2 satellite ones. And actually, we're starting a 4th one in this lady's garage. And, you know, we just have been blessed to have so many kids. I mean, we'll do a vacation Bible school, and we'll have over 100 kids easy without even advertising. So God's given us an open door to pour into these kids' lives. And these guys, if the Lord tarries, these guys are the next generation of the church. You know, and if we don't reach them, Satan is gonna. You know, so we've been just really blessed. And God's really laid on our heart that this is our calling, is to really to help minister to all these kids. And what our kids' clubs are basically, you know, not much different than like in America. We'll do a Bible study. We'll have a game. You know, we'll have a meal with the kids, you know, rice and beans and maybe some meat or something like that. Because a lot of these kids, none of these kids are overfed. Let's put it that way. And it blesses the family if we can feed them even for their kids for one meal a week. You know, that helps the family even. So this is our teens in the middle here. That's our teen Bible study. They're out in the street just studying the Word of God. And so again, we've been really blessed with that. And that's led us into our next, this is actually, this next video is an opportunity we had to love on kids. And before I play the video, it's kind of crazy. The ladies came up to me and said, hey, we want to do a hair clinic with the kids. And I'm like, what's a hair clinic? You know, I've heard of medical clinics, dental clinic. What's a hair clinic? You know, and they're like, oh, well, we want to take the kids and wash their hair and put ribbons in the little girl's hair and, you know, clean their fingernails and all this stuff. And I'm like, really? You know, what's that got to do with sharing Jesus? You know, I'm like, I don't know. And they need money for shampoo. And I'm like, I didn't, you know, I'm like, no. And they kept pushing me, you know. And I'm like, all right, fine. And I'm going like, you know, go, but I don't want to go, you know. And so we get there, you know. And this is one of them. I'll show you the video. And I'll never forget when they're washing this one girl's hair, yeah, and they got the soap in. And they pour the water on to rinse the soap out. And the water comes out brown. Her hair was that dirty, it was just brown coming out. And a couple of kids had lice in their hair, you know, and it was just, I repented. I'm like, God, I'm sorry, you know. And I was like, I was broken. I was like, God, you wanted to do a work here. And I did everything I could to stop it, you know. And it grieved my spirit. I was like, wow, God, you know. And I'm just like, you know. But anyway, let me show you what one of these things looks like, and it's pretty cool. So, you know, that gives you a little picture. And that was in the neighborhood where we're looking to build a children's center. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Prison ministries. God's given us an open door to share the gospel in one of the worst prisons in the island, Kinsay de Asua. It's a maximum security prison where they send the worst of the worst criminals. And kind of interesting story, you know. It's like the first time I went there, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, you know, I'm this kid that grew up in Baldwinsville, right? You know, what do I know about third world prisons, you know? And I didn't even know what I didn't know. I didn't know it was the worst prison on the island. You know, they said, oh, let's just go. We got an open door. Let's go to the prison. Okay, you know, we'll go. And we get in there, and then after we'd left, you know, because when you get in there, they just dump you in the population and slam the door shut, you know, and they just, like, the guards are on the outside, man, you know, you're like, I'm like, wait a minute, isn't there supposed to be the guy with a gun inside here or something? No, it's like, you know, so, you know, we brought a service in, and we were able to minister to the guys in the prison and stuff, and then I found out when I got out that, like, this is where all the bad, you know, where all the murderers and the maximum security prison, you know. And then the next time we went back, I think it was the next time, we were able to bring a tarp for the prison yard. You're in the Caribbean in the sun. The first thing you do when you get out in the sun is you look for shade. It's like, how do I get out of this burning sun? And so we've got the prison yard is where they have the church services and stuff. And they have a tarp spread over the prison yard. And the tarp they had was just literally falling apart. So we, you know, raised some funds and bought them a tarp, which was actually an old billboard. You know, the big billboards, they're this heavy-duty vinyl. And they print it, and when they're done with it, they cut it out, and then they sell it as tarps. So we were able to get that for the prison. So we drove the 2.5 hours to get there, and we figured, well, we're just going to, you know, see the chaplain in the prison and drop off the tarp and maybe pray with him and leave, you know? Like, okay, you know, nice day out, you know? So we spend, you know, 2.5 hours driving out to the prison. We get there, and then the chaplain's like, oh, no, you got to stay, and you got to preach. And I'm like, oh, man, I had my Bible, but that was it. I didn't prepare any message, and I'm like, oh, you know? And it's like, and still don't like public speaking at all. So anyway, so I'm like, I don't have an interpreter, you know, so I can't preach, you know. And I'm like, you know, thinking that I'm going to get out of doing this. And the guy's like, oh, hey, wait a minute. We got one guy in the prison that knows English. This guy, William, he's up in the cell block. We'll go get him. I'm like, oh, okay, God, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's ever, you know, God's pushing you down the path, and it's like, I really don't want to do this, but I'm like, okay. And then it came to me, it's like, because that morning I read through the Bible, and it's like, come to this verse, and the verse that I was reading and studying that morning was that one, that pesky little verse, says, be ready in season and out of season to share the hope that's within you. I'm like, oh, yeah, you did say that this morning, didn't you, God? Oh, I didn't think you, like, meant today, you know? So anyway, they go get William out of the cell block, and they bring him down. And so I'm up there preaching, and he's trying to interpret, and he's the worst interpreter I've ever had. I mean, I'm helping this guy with his Spanish, right? So if I got to help you with your Spanish, you are very bad in Spanish, okay? I'm just telling you flat out, it was awful. You know, so I'm like, at the end, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to give an altar call. We're in a prison, you know, seemed like the thing to do, right? You know, so we cast the net, and one guy steps forward to accept Jesus Christ. And it's William, the interpreter, who wouldn't have been there if we didn't come and didn't need an interpreter, and they didn't go get him out of the cell block and bring him down to the prison yard. You know, God works in amazing ways if we let him, you know, and when the Holy Spirit is pushing us, you know, I find this may be just me. Sometimes I resist the Holy Spirit. It's like, I know you want me to go do that, but I don't want to go do that. You know, I don't want to go to the prison. I don't want to go talk to that homeless person. I don't want to go into the hospital where the sick people are, you know? But the Holy Spirit's pushing you there. Well, just go, okay? Just go, right? What does it say? Be present, right? Be present where the Holy Spirit puts you. So, yeah, so that's William, and his whole life, he's radically changed. You know, he came to Christ, his whole world changed. I mean, he started a business inside the prison selling food. Okay, if you have a little bit of extra money, your family does, he's got this little cafeteria that he will make good food, clean food, so you don't have to eat the prison slop. And he's got the respect of the guards and the warden. And, you know, people know him as a man of integrity now. You know, and again, his whole life has changed because of that one encounter with Jesus Christ. You know, over here is a medical mission that we did inside the prison. We had a medical team come, and we're just ministering to the guys in the prison. And, you know, William helped set that up to the point where, you know, the team needed to food to be fed. And so he made food for us. He said, I'll make food for you. And they're like, oh, that's great. You know, so I go to settle up with him to give him some money to cover the expenses at the end. He's like, no. So here we are. The guy, the inmate, is feeding us. And it was humbling. He was like, you know, this guy doesn't have very much money, yet he is giving what little he has, you know, to feed this team that's coming to minister to his fellow inmates. You know, and it's just one thing after another. And, you know, God will do crazy things. One time we're in the same prison, right? We're there, we're doing ministry, and the guard comes up to us and says, hey, gringo, you got a car, right? I'm like, yeah. You know, because he was like, well, this guy over here got stabbed, and we don't got any way to take him to the hospital. So basically, he's going to bleed out if you don't take him to the hospital. Like, okay, I guess I'm going to the hospital. You know, so here we are. I got a tarp down in the back of my Pilot. We got this guy laying out, bleeding out on the back of the thing. And I'm like, okay. There's a guard sitting next to him with a shotgun. And I got this guy in the front seat, my buddy. I'm driving a car. He's sharing the gospel with this guy that's bleeding out in the back seat and the guard. And I'm like, this is bizarre, God. You know, I'm like, okay, you know, it was one of those things. But, you know, but it's cool. You know, God does these things. But if you knew beforehand, you might not want to go. But when you're in it and afterwards, it's really cool. So anyway, I digress. Evangelism. You know, our church has a heart for evangelism. You know, as Pastor said, we're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. All the world is Syracuse. Did you know that? When the Bible says all, do you know what that means? It means all. It means Syracuse. It means Liverpool. It means Baldwinsville. Camillus. I mean, pick one. You know, go into all of Central New York and share the gospel. Right? You know, it's funny because, you know, I'm part of Marketplace Ministry, and probably if you got jobs, your boss asks you for your annual report, right? You know, what did you do last year? You know, so we have to do that too. Even missionaries have to do that. I don't know about pastors, but missionaries. Anyway, so one of the questions they ask is, you know, how many people have made professions of faith through your ministry, right? So I started going back, and I'm like, I'm just curious. I started adding them up. And over the last 9 years, we've had 265 people make professions of faith. You know, and it just floored me. Because sometimes, you know, we're going down the road and the ground seems hard. It seems difficult. Like, we're not getting anywhere. You know, I'm in this ministry and I'm not seeing a lot of fruit. Yeah, a little fruit here, a little fruit there. But, you know, but sometimes it helps us take a step back and say, hey, you know, look at the lives that have been changed. Look at the people that have accepted Christ through this ministry. You know, and that really blessed me just to step back and say, wow. Because I never thought, if I would have picked the number, it wouldn't be that one. It would be a lot lower. You know, so, and even baptism, we had 36 people we've baptized, you know, since we started keeping track of that. So, again, you know, don't grow weary serving the Lord. You know, sometimes we do, and sometimes when it becomes a burden, remember, that's not what Jesus called us to. He said his burden, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know, so when the yoke gets really heavy, it's time to stop and say, whoa, wait a minute. You know, let's take a step back. Let's look at what we're doing here. Let's look at where we've been. Maybe the yoke is not, maybe I think it's heavy, but it's really not, you know. So the next one, this is a baptism we did back in May in the Caribbean Sea. This is Junior and Maria. And, you know, they were living together. And Junior did not know the Lord, but he started coming to church. He accepted Christ, and his whole life changed. And he's reading the Bible. He's in the Word every day. He's asking the questions like, "Hey, what does this Bible verse mean? Does it really mean what it says here? Then I should be doing it, shouldn't I?" Yeah. To the point where he and Maria, yet they're still living together, they're in separate bedrooms, if you get my drift. And he's saying, "Well, we can't go backwards because the mistake we made in the past, but we can stop here and say, no, I'm not going to live that way until we get married." And that's evidence of a changed life. When we see men at least in the Dominican Republic, I think this is across all cultures, but when the man becomes a spiritual leader of the home, that whole home changes. And Junior, he's on fire for the Lord, and his family is coming to Christ, and they're strong in the faith. So it's neat just to see the fruits in the lives of the people we touch. But God's called us in a new direction, okay? We're looking to build a children's center. And this is a little video of what we're looking to do.
The Dominican Republic is a Caribbean country known for its beautiful beaches and wonderful weather all year round, but is also known for the very big social gap between the rich and the poor. With a significantly lower level of literacy than the U.S., the Dominican Republic also has a high unemployment rate among the young, with limited access education, few moral role models, and no means of getting ahead. The youth are many times prone to walk the antisocial path of crime. We believe that it's the early years that can determine the entire life of a person. And by improving the children's education and spiritual well-being, we can impact an entire community. That is why we started developing a children's center in La Llorina, one very vulnerable community in Santo Domingo. The project currently underway consists of a children's center to work with all the children in the area, a Christian school to provide education, a church to make the spiritual impact, and a water purification plan to make the whole project sustainable and at the same time improve the sanitary conditions of the community. We are the Christian International Foundation Dominicana, and in conjunction with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, we have been impacting the Dominican Republic for more than 8 years. This new endeavor is a continuation of all the great work that the Lord has been doing through many devoted Christians that do the hands-on work in the field, and many others that support us financially and with prayers.
So that gives you a little feel for the neighborhood and where, where we're looking to do the ministry here. Let me get that. So this is what the for phase one and two of the New Beginnings Hope Center is. This is the land we were able to purchase. Last year we were home and we were able to raise $10,000 to buy this land. It's about 6 building lots worth of land. And we own basically from street to street to street, and then you see the back border there. It's about half an acre, which is not big by American standards, but by Dominican standards, a pretty good sized chunk of land. So this is phase one, what we're looking at. This big open area over here, we're looking to have that open for the kids' activities, for evangelistic meetings, to plant a church, do community activities, medical outreaches, hair clinics, you name it. In the Dominican Republic, you don't really need walls because walls just keep heat in. So pretty much having it open like that will be a lot cooler. And actually, it's great because the people in the surrounding neighborhood can kind of see in what's going on. Say, "Hey, what are they doing over there? Maybe I should go check it out." So, yeah, battery just got going on that one. Hold on. Back the bus up. So this is what's going to, phase one is going to look like with a roof on. And then phase two is going to be an elementary school. So we're going to have 6 classrooms up on top, an office, And on the other side, we're going to have an apartment that we can have either for the pastor or for the principal of the school, somebody that can actually live on the property, keep an eye on things. So this is what that's going to look like. And then phase three, we're looking to build a church for about 150 people. And then on the second floor of that, we're going to have the high school. And then phase five is going to be the water purification plant. So you can kind of see over in the blue building over there is the water plant. In Dominican Republic, you don't drink water out of the faucet. You buy your water filtered. So everybody buys water. It doesn't matter, you know, where you are in this economic scale, whether you're, you know, very poor or very rich, everybody buys their water. And so what our vision is, if our well comes in and it's not, it's a good, we're close to the ocean, so if it comes in salty, then this probably won't work. But we're praying that the well's going to come in, it's going to come in good, and then we're going to be able to sell the water at a fair price in the neighborhood so they have clean water that doesn't have to be trucked in now, and that we can also generate revenue for, say, a pastor, a bivocational pastor and his family. Because one of the things with a lot of mission work is you need to make it sustainable. If it relies on just strictly money from the United States, it's not sustainable. Because when that money stops, the mission stops, and we don't want that. So this is a way that we can help continue the work there, even if, you know, the support from the United States stops. And this is what the rendering of the plant. So our plan is to be in the United States upwards a year. We don't know. You know, we're stepping out in faith to raise $60,000 to get those first two phases done. And to be honest with you, I've never done anything like this. You know, we're stepping out, and it's like I've never had to go around and say, hi, I'm raising money. Can you give me $60,000, you know? But, you know, we're stepping out, and God's starting to bless it. I mean, we've had over $3,000 come in last month. You know, and we're just starting to really get out and share the message. And the message I want to leave you with today is about faith. You know, again, we're stepping out in faith doing this, but Scripture is very clear. You know, in Hebrews it says, you know, without, let me get my notes and read it. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Right? What's that first part of that say? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Okay, if you don't have faith, you're not going to please God, period. I mean, it's really simple. You know, so much of the Bible is very simple. You know, you don't have faith, you're not going to please God. You know, you look at the people in the Bible. And remember, you know, when we look at people in the Bible, they were people. You know, these aren't like some, you know, superhero or something like that. Noah was just a guy, right? But he stepped out in faith and built an ark, right? Abraham, he had the faith that he would have sacrificed his son, right? Moses, he had the faith to confront Pharaoh, the leader of the world, right, at that time, and even part the Red Sea. Joshua had faith to fight the Battle of Jericho. David had the faith to face the giant Goliath, right? Elijah had the faith to be fed by God in the wilderness and to draw fire down from heaven. Right? Job had faith. He never doubted God. You know, they all had faith, and faith pleases God. Let's look at one of my favorite disciples, Peter. If we go to Matthew chapter 14, right? The disciples, they're in the boat, right? In the middle of the night, right? And the storm is raging, and they see Jesus, right? It's like 2 in the morning, and you see Jesus walking on the water, right? And what do you think? They're scared, man. You see this guy walking on the water in the middle of the night, you know? You know, they were afraid. And what does it say in Scripture in Matthew 14? It says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, come to me. If it is you, let me start up. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus, right? Peter had faith to get out of the boat. You know, a lot of times we nail Peter. Well, he took his eyes off Jesus and he sank. Yeah, but he got out of the boat. What were the other 11 doing? They're sitting in the boat, right? He got out of the boat. Yeah, he flubbed up and he sank. And Jesus picked him up, right? But he got out of the boat. And that's what God wants us. He wants you to get out of the boat. You know, don't wait, you know, don't just hang with the other 11 disciples saying, well, the pastor will do it or the elders will do it or, you know. No, get out of the boat. The worst thing that happened, he sunk in the water. And then what happened? Jesus picked him up. That's pretty cool, right? He got to walk on the water, though. The other guys didn't. So get out of the boat. In Mark chapter 9, we read, and remember this, is the disciples are fighting over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, right? You're really not very disciple-like, right? It's like, well, I'm better than you. I'm going to be more famous. You know, all the stuff, they're you know, arguing who's going to be the greatest. And then, you know, and then Jesus, here's the passage out of Mark chapter 9. Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Right? So all these guys, these big guys, are all fighting over who's going to be the greatest. Jesus puts this little kid in the middle and says, you know, basically says, you need to be like this little kid. You need to have the faith of a child. You know, I think back when, you know, my kids were little, right? And I was, I don't know if you dads used to do this. You get them on the bed, right? And then, you know, you step back and say, jump into my arms, you know? And they're like, you know, they're all scared. It's like they know you're going to catch them, but they're still afraid, you know? And they're like, you know, they come, they stop, and they go, and then they're like, you know, suddenly, yeah, right? And you catch them, and y'all laugh and everything, and next thing you know, you do it again, and it's a little farther, and then, you know, and then at least in our house, the game got crazy because they'd blindside me. All of a sudden, you'd be like, wow, have a kid jumping at you, like, oh, you know, but you always caught them, right? And they knew you would, and that's the picture of Jesus, right? You jump, he's going to catch you, you know? He's telling you to do it, he's going to catch you, right? And then when we love the poor, and the lowly and the helpless, we're doing the work of the Lord, right? But it takes us to jump and to step out and do that, you know? It's like, yeah, maybe I don't want to go down to the homeless in the middle of the city, or I don't want to go to the people who are terminally ill in the hospital. I don't want to go to the prison. I don't want to do work in the food bank. Whatever it is, you know, when we do those things, we are showing the love of Christ. And we're earning people's respect and the opportunity to share the gospel. I heard one pastor preach one time. He says, you know, when we're doing things like this, loving on people, we're building bridges that are strong enough to bear the weight of the gospel. If you think about it, what message is more important than the one we have, the gospel? Nothing. There's nothing in this world more important and life-changing than what we have. But if we just flip, you know, flippantly just say, oh, you know, be saved, you know, whatever, people aren't going to hear it. They're going to want to know that you care about them before you build that respect to share the gospel. So Jesus wants us not to look at ourselves, but to look at others. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, we read, For in the righteousness of the Lord is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, God wants you to live by faith. You know, I think as Americans, we get so wound up in the things we have and we insulate ourselves from God. You know, well, I have my house, I have my bank account, I own my car, I all these things. And it's like, it gets to the point where I don't need you, God. I have all these things, you know, around me, you know, and that's wrong, you know, and God will strip those things away, you know. One out of every one person is going to die someday, and you're going to leave all that behind, you know, and it isn't going to matter on that day of judgment, you know, what you had in the world, you know, except for the fact that how you used it to further the kingdom of God. So, you know, I'm going to ask you today, what's God telling you to do? What's he asking you to step out and do? You know, maybe it's start a Bible study in your school. You know, maybe it's to go work with the homeless. Maybe it's just to minister to the elderly in the community. You know, maybe it's to start a Bible study at work. I don't know. I'm not your Holy Spirit, right? But the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And if you're not hearing the Holy Spirit, it's because you're not listening. And you don't want to hear him. Because he'll speak to you in that still small voice. But you've got to be ready. And got to want to hear it. And you got to want to step out. God's not going to force himself to use you. I got a newsflash for you. God doesn't need you. I'm sorry if that hurts somebody's feelings, but God does not need you. And even if you're a Christian, God still doesn't need you. His will be done with or without you. But the cool thing is, he allows us to be part of it. He invites us in to be part of the kingdom and part of the work. So I don't know what God's telling you to do today. You know, maybe it's to go out and build a children's center. I don't know, right? But God's going to do a mighty work in you if you step out. But he's not going to force you. If you don't want to go, he's going to let you say, okay, fine. Okay? So really that's what I want to leave you with today, to step out in faith. You know, we're stepping out in faith on this project. You know, like I said before, I've never done anything like this. You know, I'm just some guy from Baldwinsville, you know? But God's telling us to go and to step out, you know? And I don't know where it's going to lead, you know? But God does, and that's all I need to know, right? So, we're just believing that God's going to do some mighty things. And he always has, and he always will. So, let me pray. Dear Father God, Lord, we are so thankful to be gathered here today, Lord, and looking at the work you're doing all over the world, Lord. Your kingdom is huge and your planet is small. Lord, you connect people all across the planet for your work in some amazing ways, Lord. And Lord, let us not lose sight as things happen that there are no coincidences in your kingdom. Lord, I like the way the Dominican Republic, they say diocidence, God incidence. Lord, you orchestrate everything, Lord, and you know our hearts. And Lord, we just ask that that you touch the hearts today, Lord. There are people in here that you're calling to serve you, Lord. And they may be reluctant like I am, Lord, and they may be kicking their feet and saying, I don't want to go there, Lord. I don't want to do that. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm worried that somebody's going to not like me or whatever, Lord. And Lord, we just pray you give them courage to overcome what Satan's putting in their ears and their minds, Lord, that they can and serve you in mighty ways, Lord, if they step out in faith, because the only way we're going to please you is through faith. So, Lord, we ask that you would, Lord, just help us to each have more faith, Lord. Lord, I love the way the guy in the gospel said, you know, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, help us in our faith, Lord. Help us, because without faith, if we don't have faith, that's unbelief. Or we don't believe you're going to do what you said you're going to do, Lord. So give us that faith to know that you're going to do a mighty work in us, and it's going to go and it'll be completed in the day of Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we just ask that you touch hearts today, Lord. Guide paths, open doors, Lord, and just minister to everybody here, Lord. And, Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know you today, Lord, they say, yeah, I've been coming to church. I know about you, Jesus, but I don't have a relationship with you, Lord. Let today be that day of salvation. Let them say, you know what? I want that Jesus. I want that love that I see these Christians have, Lord. And I want that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, let that today be the day of salvation. So Lord, we just ask that if there's anybody here that they come forward now or come after service, talk to me or pastor or somebody, one of the elders, Lord, and dedicate their life to following Jesus Christ. And Lord, that they would be like William, their lives would radically change, like Junior and Maria. Lord, and all these people that we've seen impacted by the kingdom of God, Lord. So, Lord, we just ask that you bless everyone here today, Lord. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.